In our readings this week, we hear this call to endurance, to persevere. We see this in our reading from Jeremiah, as the people in exile are invited to hear this word of the Lord and to follow what God would say. We see this in our second reading today, in this call to practice right teaching, to endure even in the face of hardship, of suffering, just as the author is enduring and bearing witness to the gospel even while imprisoned. Of course, we have a couple of challenges to this endurance. The first, and I think this is what we see in our reading from Jeremiah, is that we can get tired. We can feel overwhelmed. We don't feel like we have the energy, the capability to persevere, to endure. This is probably how it felt for the folks in the midst of exile as they lost everything, their homes, access to the temple. Maybe they thought that God no longer cared about them. Maybe they thought God was defeated. Whatever it may be, odds are very good they were feeling defeated, isolated, alone, as they were driven into exile. And then Jeremiah's message comes that says, persevere, continue to hear the word of the Lord. Know that God is still speaking, that God still cares. And while this might be a salve, this might be a balm to the people in the midst of challenge, the message that they hear is likely a difficult one to persevere in as well. Build houses and live in them. Tend gardens. Stay in the place to which you are sent. Seek the well-being of the city to which you will now belong. This is probably not what they would hope to have heard from God. They had probably hoped that if God was caring about them, thinking about them, sharing a word with them, that God would then restore them, bring them back from exile, to say, I will soon defeat the Babylonians and you will be back in your houses and you will be back at the temple and everything else. This is, of course, the first exile before the temple is destroyed. And that would be what we would hope God would say to us. But that is not what God says. It is endure, persist in listening to me. And what I am telling you to do is to care for the places to which I have sent you. And we are to persevere in this, even when we feel like we have lost everything, even when we might be feeling bitter towards those who have conquered us. We hear from God that we are to persist, to endure in ways that would support and care for these lands to which we have been sent, to which we have been driven. So that's challenge one, to when we're feeling overwhelmed, exhausted, to persist, to endure, to continue. Challenge two sounds a lot like nailing endurance and perseverance. Challenge two is that we persist in the wrong things, where we put our focus and our attention where it should not be, and we feel like we have endurance, but instead we are going away from where we should be focused. And this is what I think we see obliquely in our second reading today. In the midst of this call to right teaching, we can think, that's what's important. We have to have a right understanding, a right perspective, a right obedience of what God has shared with us. And that will guarantee that we are enduring, persisting as we should. The challenge with this, of course, is that as we focus on a right teaching, on a right articulation of our faith, on a proper obedience, we're going to find it very hard to not wrangle over words, which, of course, is what we're also being told to do here today. Don't wrangle over words. It ruins those who hear them, and it does no good. And yet, when we're fixated on expressing our faith and the proper way of being right, then we're probably going to wrangle over words. Others are going to express their faith differently. They're going to have other perspectives. They're going to think that things should be done in a way that differs from the way we think things should be done in this world. And we will probably fight about this They'll say, no, you have to say it this way. We have to do it this way. And this wrangling will not get us anywhere. It's just further entrench ourselves in our own perspectives. And of course, the person with whom we are discussing equally entrenched. And those who hear this will not think this is a faith worth following or a faith worth having. So this is the challenge as well, that we can get caught up in persisting in our own understandings and miss that which God would say to us, miss keeping our attention where it should be. This is what I think is going on in a concrete way, at least potentially, in our gospel reading today. We have these 10 lepers here, the command from Christ to go and show themselves to the priest. On the way, they're made clean. And 9 of them continue on. They do not, only one goes back to say thank you to Jesus. And I have to imagine that they're going to carry out this command to say, we've been made clean. We must now follow through on what Jesus has said to us. We must go show ourselves to the priests. But in doing this, we say, we have shifted our focus now. Initially, we went in trust. There was no reason to show ourselves to the priest if we were lepers. When we were still unclean, this would only mean that the priest would send us away and say, you're still unclean, what are you doing? And so there is hope that maybe if we go and show ourselves to the priest, as nonsensical as it sounds to us, we might be healed. We might receive the mercy for which we asked for. And then they are. At which point they say, well, in order to keep this, in order to maintain this state of healing, of wholeness, we must now be obedient. And so we focus, we endure in a way that allows us to maintain that obedience, to listen, and to say that's what's most important. And so we struggle with these same things ourselves today. We too can get tired. We too can feel overwhelmed by what God is saying to us and want to say, you know what? Let's just give up. It's too hard. It's too difficult. It's too long. It's too whatever to follow Christ, to persist in this faith. That's a temptation for us, surely. And I think there's just as equal a temptation to say, well, this is what we've heard Jesus say to us. This is what we know needs to happen. And so that's where we're going to focus on no matter what. We're going to lock ourselves down to this perspective, to this understanding, to this articulation of our faith. And we miss then what God is up to. We can no longer endure in such a way that we would heed what God would share with us. The model, of course, that we're called to follow today is the Samaritan. The Samaritan experiences this healing and continues to trust in Jesus, not in his own obedience, not in his own understanding, but to say, Christ has healed me. I must go back to Jesus and say thank you. Come what may. It's very possible that he would have been violating this command and been punished in such a way that he would have had his leprosy return. I imagine that even so, he would have said, but I still must follow Jesus. Jesus is the one who heard me when I cried. Jesus is the one who offered me mercy, and Jesus is the one who healed me. And the Samaritan's perspective that leaves off from the last command to go and say Christ alone, that is the level of faith and endurance I think we are called to have, to say no matter what it may lead to, no matter what may happen to us, we are to follow Christ. We are to render our thanks and praise for the mercy God has shown us in Christ. I think this is the same call that is being given even in our second reading today. The focus of right teaching is already given to us. We know what this right teaching is, and it is the gospel for which our author is imprisoned. The gospel that says Jesus was raised from the dead, and we know the power of the resurrection through Christ. and that Jesus is the Messiah, the descendant of David, which tells us that Jesus is the one who has defeated the forces of sin and death, and Jesus is the one we are to follow. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Christ is to be our focus, first and foremost. Right teaching points not to our own articulation of the faith, to doctrines, to belief, to practices. Right teaching points to Christ, to this living Word of God, who has overcome sin and death. Indeed, I think we catch a glimpse of this too as we hear that the Word of God is not chained. As we know, Christ is the Word of God, the living Word of God. And the reality that Christ is not chained means not only that Christ is not bound to any given time or space, but also that Christ is not bound to our own understandings, to our articulation of who Jesus is or how our faith must be understood in the world. Jesus is not bound to any of that. The Word of God is not chained. And so we have to accept that Christ is going to work beyond our conceptions, our understandings, our perspectives. And we must endure in following Christ, in following this Word of God wherever it would lead us, in whatever it is Christ would say to us. And to consistently let go of our own understandings of what that might mean, even when it seems perfectly clear. Jesus just said, "Show yourselves to the priest." Do I trust in my obedience to that, or do I trust in Christ? Sometimes it's hard for us to tell. But come what may, our goal is to cultivate a trust in this one who is risen from the dead, this one who is our true leader and shepherd. We are to hear this Word of God and follow wherever that may lead. This is what's being offered to the people in exile today as well. They hear this word of the Lord come to them, and they are called to trust it, to endure, and to say, yeah, yes, even now that we've been defeated, now that our spirits are broken, now that we are exhausted, we should still follow wherever God would lead us. So God says, labor for the place to which we are being sent, then yes, that is exactly what we shall do. This is also all the more difficult, I think, to hear and heed these words when we also hear Jeremiah say very clearly that God is the one who sent them into exile. On the one hand, this could be comforting words. Could be a reminder that God wasn't too weak to prevent them from going into exile. Could be a reminder that this wasn't a surprise to God. This could be a reminder that God wasn't defeated at all, but all of this was orchestrated by God. All of those things could be helpful to the people in the midst of exile. But I would guess a reminder that this was not something that was a surprise to God, nor something that God didn't have power and control over, could make them just a little upset. Can make them wonder, why, Lord, then would you not step in and save us? If you knew this was going to happen and you had power to change it and you still care about us, why would you let this happen? And I think so often these are the questions we raise to God, recognizing that the challenges that we have, the hardships, the awful suffering we see in the world is not a surprise to God. God knew all of this already. And we know and confess that God has the power, the ability to make it different. And so we will want to say, then Lord, why is it not different? Why would you not have prevented this? Why would you not have stopped this? Why wouldn't you work to end this? And this, of course, makes it hard for us to endure in our faith, to continue to trust in God and trust in the words that God would share with us. Because God doesn't always operate in ways that make sense to us. And here, for those in exile, just as well for ourselves, we see that even in the midst of our hardships, of our challenges, of our suffering, suffering that we may even think, God, you could have done something about, we still are to persist in trusting in God. we still are to listen to this word, a word that has allowed these hard things to occur. Recognizing that it's not our understanding that matters, it is following God that matters the most. But I do think we see in our gospel story how God chooses to deal with our suffering, with our challenges. These 10 men who have been cut off from the community because they have been unclean draw near to Christ and say, "Lord, have mercy on us." And Jesus says, "I will. I will heal you and restore you. Go to the priest." This is, I think, God's response to us in the midst of hard things, in the midst of challenges, in the midst of suffering. God says, "I long to draw near to you." Indeed, this is what Christ does by being the Word of God that takes on flesh, that enters into our existence, that goes through suffering and death in order to say, "I will be with you, come what may." I may not prevent it all, won't stop it all from happening, but I will be there. And in the midst of your challenges, in the midst of the difficulties and the pains you will experience in this life, I will proclaim to you my mercy. This is what God does for us. I think in turn, this is what we are called to do for one another. And indeed is what is happening today. In these gifts that we have brought together of personal care kits, of quilts, of baby care kits. These are items that are sent to people in very difficult situations who have gone through hardship, suffering, and pain, who may well be asking themselves, why should we continue to follow God? If God, this tragedy wasn't a surprise to God and wasn't something God didn't have power over. And these items will come near to them and be a tangible expression of God's mercy. Here they are prayed over and they go with our love and with the love of God to say that they will be near to those who will encounter hard times. Some of these will quite literally wrap them and enfold them, will help them know that they are sheltered and supported. And we pray today that these will help them endure these hard times, to continue to hear that the word of the Lord will come to them and help them know God's mercy. We experience this ourselves again today as we gather for this meal, where Christ enters into this bread and wine, this body and blood, sharing with us the truth that the word of God still is not chained, not even to heaven, as Christ is sent among us here. We're continued to see and to hear this word and love of God that would tell us of God's mercy. God still cares for us. And we who may be feeling weary from the week, we who may be particularly focused on a certain outcome, a certain expression of our faith, a certain action that we know needs to be done, whatever it may be, we are invited here in this moment to set it all aside and to simply come to Christ, to offer our thanks and praise for the gift of grace that is shared with us here, and to be drawn ever more deeply into the heart and love of God, to have ourselves and our souls nourished and sustained, transformed and sent back out to celebrate and share the love that we have received here. We continue to be sent into this place to work for the well-being of the city to which God has sent us, that we might continue to raise up this gift of mercy and work for the well-being of all those around us. And as we encounter the strength and nourishment that comes from Christ today, as we encounter this word of God that continues to proclaim to us God's love, grace, and life, we can say, in the midst of whatever challenges we are facing, in the midst of whatever difficulties are made known to us at this point in time, we can still utter a cry of praise and thanksgiving for this God who has drawn near to us and shown us a mercy beyond all comprehension. For this gift of love, of enduring, steadfast love, we can only say, thanks be to God. Amen.